Today we're reading from a collection of quotations about the customs of Rosh Hashanah. You can ask questions at kab.tv, and selected questions related to the studied material will be aired live. Again, we have a collection here prepared by our contents team about customs of Rosh Hashanah. And the first quotation is called Holidays from Rabash, first volume, the article of a wife and children in the Torah. Holidays implies to the ascent of the worlds, that each and every one of them ascends in its degree and rises a little bit higher than the state in which it is. This is the time where each and every one scrutinizes for himself the reason for which he takes upon himself the kingdom of heavens.
There is an awakening from above and an awakening from below. The awakening from below, each and every one, can happen in any possible state. There is Friday afternoon, and there is the Day of Atonement, and 2 days later, or 2 hours later, I have Passover, or a weekday, and so on. It's all up to the person himself. That's how these degrees are called. And there's also the general issue, meaning that there is an illumination from above that comes in order to set the worlds in order, to arrange them correctly, and then it happens so by the awakening from above in general. And there is a difference between the general and the particular manner in terms of intensity, where either a person himself, he reaches it, that means that he performs his particular corrections, reaches his personal final correction, he can reach his personal correction, so on, besides the general stony heart. But the general corrections, they are on a much greater and broader intensity, and it's something altogether different. It's because it's like the difference between a particular individual and the whole group. There were specifically in the group you discover the higher force, and all of the degrees where there's the person with respect to the group. And therefore, this hints about the rising of the worlds, and each one rises in degree. If it is the ascent of the degrees, then everything that has to do with it ascends. Whoever is not or has nothing to do with the ladder of degrees doesn't ascend. To belong to the degrees, it means that you nullify yourself. If you're capable of nullifying yourself, then whatever happens in all of the worlds will also happen with you, because you're integrated into that with your nullification, and ascends a bit above the state in which a person is. And this is the time where each and every person examines the reason for which he has taken upon himself the kingdom of heavens, meaning, why do I nullify myself in order to ascend with the worlds? What does it give me? Were I to know in advance, right now, what does it give me? Maybe I wouldn't have ascended at all. What do I get? Love for others, concern and care for others, the unification of everyone. What do I need all that trouble for? Then a person, he has to check. Is it worthwhile paying for, in addition to everything else, with all the great exertion and efforts and giving up his entire life and so on? This is what he says, that then, when the awakening from above comes, then each and every person examines what is the reason for which he has taken upon himself the kingdom of heavens, meaning self-nullification. The kingdom of heavens, it means that the malchut nullifies itself before the bina, the will to receive, nullifies itself toward or before the will to bestow. Okay? No questions. Good. What? You didn't ask today yet. You can't go without a precept.
Can you explain it at the level of, let's say, a person who hears those things for the first times? annulment, Malchut rises to Binah, Rosh Hashanah, and all that.
Well,
can you maybe explain it in a way that every person who's now hearing this conversation would be able to understand what we're talking about here?
On Rosh Hashanah, usually we say to each other, Happy New Year, Shana Tova. So what does it mean for you, Good New Year? This is what he has to examine. This is what he says, that each person checks out the reason for which he accepts upon himself the kingdom of heaven. So I'm asking you, what does it mean for you, Shana Tova? What kind of ascent do you want? Shana, it means the following degree. So what do you want from the next year? What do you want from it? Come on, what are you looking at me for? I see on you, according to your eyes, that you want a raise in your salary. You should talk to Mushi about that. Is there anything else that you want? Meaning that this is what a person has to examine. Why should he nullify himself? So each and every time, as much as we're capable of bearing the nullification, the self-nullification, in order to achieve love for others, serving others, devotion. What you want, the nice words that you want to say about the Creator, before you ascribe it to Him, first of all, ascribe it to the rest of humanity. Turn it to them, because the condition is very simple, from love of others to the love of the Creator. It doesn't work any other way. You have to prepare your vessels, and your vessels are humanity. And then the Creator will reveal to you there, according to your equivalence of form with Him, as much as you relate to them, He'll relate to you. There, that's the place where you'll meet, inside those vessels of the public, of the collective. I'm already telling you, I don't know what's up. How can I? There's nothing to.
So I need to wish a good year to all of humanity?
To yourself. I want a good year. A good year, it means that I will be cleaved on to the good that does good. How? Where? By relating this way to others, bring them to the maximum possible good state, there the Creator will help me do that, and that's the place where we'll meet. What does it mean, meet with Him? With the quality of bestowal. That's it? That's the Creator? I thought, yes. That I shall dwell inside the quality of bestowal, and only that. For me, to get the strength, for me to have only the, so that the only force that I will have is the force of love. That is called the correction. So,
what is annulment, nullification?
Nullification, because now you have desires and intentions and different inclinations that are different. So, you nullify them in order to cleave on to the upper, and the upper is called, or it means that it is completely in bestowal. So, you can't be in complete bestowal unless you nullify yourself to some extent. Yes, Marik?
You told Neve that the ability to bear nullification depends on the greatness of bestowal towards the others, devotion, the ability to bear, to tolerate the nullification. The ability to tolerate, to bear the nullification, my nullification, depends on the greatness of the devotion, the greatness of the Creator, the greatness of the love for the others. What do you take that equivalence form, that comparison? I have a certain action now where I need to nullify myself, but compared to what? What do I compare this with?
The reforming light.
But where do I take the reward from? What gives me the force to bear, to tolerate the nullification?
Love.
How do I depict that?
You ask for that to happen. It's really a tremendous force which you need in order to nullify yourself. What does he say? He says that all those, that all the people in this world would have cut off their hands and legs 7 times a day for 7 years in order to feel just once again the feeling of adhesion. So what kind of a nullification do I need? It's unbelievable.
That's okay, I can tell it to myself in my mind, but the moment of the state of nullification comes, I don't feel that.
Now, that's for sure. The moment comes a feeling that's a bit in a different direction from that direction, then that's how it always is on all levels. But it depends on what do you ask for when you have the possibility to ask. It's not when you're in a good feeling and then you're really subjugated to it, or you're in a bad feeling and it rules you. But when you're in the middle third of Tiferet, we're talking about a person who is in a neutral zone. There, he can decide. The question is, how does he decide if he's in a neutral zone? Here or there, then I don't know. I can go crazy. I don't know what to choose. So there has to be a preparation for it. And there is, we'll talk about it, but a person is not demanded to overcome the force which now controls him. Let him ask.
We said that we need to bestow upon everyone, the whole world, love the whole world. And yet in the past we learned that it happens in degrees. At first you do it in a family, in the group, then the family, then the whole my nation, the whole world. So why can't we just jump to the whole world?
Jump, let's see you. Jump. You don't get what we're talking about at all. How much can you read about what the group is, the influence of the environment of our person? So jump. You know, to simply say as if you never heard these things before. How can I, without being strengthened by the environment, do anything? How can I wake up if they don't give me an example? How can I come not up to them, but to foreign people and start doing who knows what? They'll say that I went mad or what? What, I'll show love toward them, bestowal, I'll dance, I'll jump together with them, I'll do what? Start behaving that way at work. Why not? Starting today, and we'll see you later. We'll visit you in the, how do you call that hospital? The, well, it's a mental institution.
But we said once that first you bestow in the group, then in the family, then in the nation, and then towards the world. That's what you said.
To the extent to which they're capable of being in it openly, or to the extent to which I can extend my circle within myself to relate to them that way in a manner that's hidden from them. All those great Kabbalists, they've reached a circle of love toward the entire world. Really, that's called the final correction. Inside these circles, you have Keter Chochma Bina. Really, that's how it is, meaning it depends on the world you're in. That's the ladder of steps. What circle are you included in? How much can you include? Good, bad? How much of those that you... How much can you bring into your circle? Those that you hate, those who whatever. This is the matter of going in faith above reason. This is what he says here, that to examine the reason for which one takes upon himself the kingdom of heavens. Kingdom of heavens is the Bina, the Malchut that is in the heavens. Meaning the Malchut that rose to the Bina and takes upon itself the full control of the Bina. That you crown the heavens upon yourself. Can you keep on reading? What else do you have there?
Quotation number 2 from Shamati 168, the customs of Israel. The customs of Israel are so important that it is safe to say that they give more spirituality to a person than the mitzvot themselves. This is so, although breaking a custom does not yield punishment, and breaking a judgment does yield punishment. Still, concerning the benefit, meaning producing fear of heaven, the customs yield more spirituality. Since the great ones who established the customs arranged it so that spirituality would shine through them.
There's a big problem that the corporeal actions of love, unity, everything that the Rabash tells us about, especially in his articles about society, that this is how we have to behave. Don't disrespect them. Well, we do that. Relatively here, we are implementing what the Rabash says, and we have the North, the Convention of the North, so...
Number 3, ascribe it to life from Shamati 122, understanding what is written in the Shulchan Aruch. The prayer should be in the heart. This is the meaning of the work in the heart, that the heart will agree with what one says in one's mouth. Otherwise, it is a deceit, that is, that one's mouth and heart are not the same.
I'd just like to add about the customs, because I feel that you're not really... A custom, it means that. Now, I am incapable of fulfilling spiritually a certain condition, law, and I keep it only in corporeality. I can't keep it internally, in spirituality. I give the group some kind of a pleasure. I try to fill them up, to connect with them, in order to give to them all the time, as long as I'm taking or performing different actions that have to do with to love, unity, arvut, even though that I'm still not in that, and neither are they, it's not a mitzvah yet. A mitzvah, it means that I draw the light and it corrects us, and it really corrects and unites and awakens and fulfills. It's already an action and practice and realization, but before that, anything that I do before that is called custom. So the Kabbalists, throughout the teachings, throughout all that we do, even though, even if we understand or don't what we're doing, if we keep and implement their advice, into that advice, they put in the reforming light, where the more we engage in it, but meaning still with unworthy intention, meaning which is lo lishma, but from lo lishma we reach lishma. Now, each and everything that helps us achieve correction, that if I still use it with the intention in order to receive, and that is what necessitates me, it's called then a custom. What?
We have many customs on Rosh Hashanah. Maybe you can go over those customs and tell us...
I have no customs on Rosh Hashanah besides one. Being united with others. That I'll eat the head of a fish, it's not a custom. That, like we're talking about here.
So tonight, when I'm going to be in the meal...
So behave accordingly, that's your own concern. That's your own business. I'll tell you what we consider a custom. We consider custom the means that can lead me to lishma, which I keep now in lo lishma, and by that I draw the reforming light and do reach lishma. Then it will be called, for me, a law, a mitzvah. For the time being, it's a custom. I keep it. So what kind of actions help me achieve lishma? They're called, those actions are called customs. So when I'll eat the head of the fish this evening, so what, it'll help me reach lishma or not? Answer that, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, good. So I'll give you 10 heads. Eat them.
No, if I'm eating the fish head and I truly long to reach...
I don't know what you're yearning for.
If it reminds me of spirituality, then...
Let these things go. It's it has nothing to do with one another. That it reminds you about spirituality, or anything can remind you about spirituality. I'm asking about the actions themselves. What are the actions themselves that can evoke your correction? These are called the customs. Here you're talking about a different kind of custom. It's something for the masses. It helps too. True, but not in order to reach lishma. Not in order to reach lishma, I'm sorry. You have 2,000 years of experience. People are keeping and keeping and keeping, and God forbid I'm not against that. This evening, I, like anyone else, will do these things, which are customs. Eat carrot and fish and pomegranate, but these are not the things that lead us to holiness. And like you put it, that as a result of eating it, suppose that that's what you said, that by that we can reach holiness, by that you distance a person from the correction because he thinks that he's already advancing. So give me another head, and give me another carrot, and so on and so forth, meaning that you distance him because it's not the actions which he takes, but that you tell him that in these actions there's holiness. There is no holiness in any action. We see it also. The light does not reform, but only on condition that a person takes actions that belong to the connection, the unity, that lead to unity, and for them he asks the reforming light, and only that.
So for example, tonight when I'll have an apple in honey, it's a custom, an earthly custom that we do, you know, the family does that. So this custom is supposed to imply at something spiritual, it's supposed to remind you of some spiritual thing that I should long for, right?
I don't know. For someone it does, for someone it doesn't.
Yes, so we want everything to be that way. It will become something that reminds us of spirituality. Tonight we have in a meal in which there are many customs that have some sort of a spiritual root.
Okay.
And I want, during the meal, that I want to know what I'm doing and not just to, you know, eat, you know, an apple in honey or a pomegranate or...
It says so in the prayer book.
May you have as many mitzvot like a pomegranate.
Right, and the apple with honey, what does it symbolize? That the apple, the same apple that Adam and Eve ate, and you mitigate it with honey. These are symbols of the correction. The only thing you're missing is the serpent. If you'll draw him out from within, then everything will be fine.
So tonight, in a meal, in the evening, with the family, these customs, how can I explain that to them, you know, the spiritual context or...
Nah, that's your own concern. I don't know what level your family is on. You have to explain that the decrees, you want to mitigate the decrees. It's the carrot by which you mitigate and the pomegranate, that the 613 seeds within the pomegranate, it symbolizes the man that his mitzvot will be like a pomegranate and so on. What else do we have there? The honey.
Okay, so we said the apple in honey and we said...
Carrot. The head of a fish, right? To be a head and not the tail, right? It's with respect to the whole of humanity.
What is it? Why do we say a good signing?
Otherwise, what will you say? half of it. It's the complete signing, meaning that we complete all of our corrections. That today, this year, we will reach the end of all corrections. The final correction, you can say that instead of a good seal of approval.
What does it mean to be inscribed in the book of the righteous and not the book of the wicked?
Bala Sulam explains it. Where? In which article? No, not in Shamati.
We have the quotation here also.
Oh, we have the quotation. Good. So he tells you that it's like you go into a shop and there's the shopkeeper and he has this note, a notepad, and he, you know.
Yeah, but we're not, you know, I mean, in a family, let's say.
You want. Okay, you want me to write you in the good notebook.
There's somebody there sitting on a cloud and he's writing you in some book. I mean, what does it mean?
If you want you to put, if you want him to put you in the good notebook, then, you know, we can talk about it.
No, I really want to understand, what is that point? What does it mean to inscribe, to write you? Who's going to do it?
It says that you have to always know that all of your actions are being written down.
Well, there's a cleric up there that's taking a note?
It's written down somehow. That today you're talking to this mic. It's being written down. What clerk? You need a clerk for that. I don't know whether we should speak on that level. It's really it throws us out of everything. The Kabbalists who wrote these things, they never meant anything but only as roots, even that carrot and all those things. You can't explain it to your household in terms of the upper roots, what are supposed the decrees, what does it mean to be a head and not a tail. And you explain it just like you explain it to the children. You also explain it to... I don't think that it's right, the right thing to do. Not even to the kids or to your household. Or we have to tell the truth as much as we can. And as a result of explaining the truth to them, even though they don't understand, but they're integrated in it, they're a part of it, they already have the illumination of the surrounding lights. And if you tell them some stories about, let's eat sweet carrot and apple with honey for us to have a sweet year, then by that you leave them in whatever they are, meaning, once again, in exile. So what's the direction that I should take this evening with my family? Meaning, what can I determine? They're not in spirituality. They have no inspiration or anything. So what can I say that they can grasp?
Explain to them the goal of the whole world, the goal of men, the goal of men's work, as much as you can, with a few sweet words. But everything should be connected to the correction of the world. Explain to them the following. We will be better off next year if the world will be better off. And the other way around, God forbid. If they feel bad, we're going to have it. We're going to feel bad because we discovered that we're all connected. So let's think about the correction of the world. What could be the correction of the world if it becomes connected? If we would all be connected through a good connection, it's going to be good for everyone. And if not, it's going to be bad for everyone. This is what we now discover in the global world. Therefore, let's think about the connection. And that's it. All the things that support connection are a mitzvah. It's good. It's a correction. All the actions, all the forces that go against the connection, those are bad. It's a corruption. Now explain to them all of those indications, these symbols. What are they with respect to connection, unity? And what does each one of them symbolize? What aspect of connection? What does this apple that we dip in the honey, symbolize? It's that sin that we need to sweeten, to mitigate. Mitigate means to correct. We don't erase the will to receive. We eat it up. We eat up that apple. But we want it to be sweet. Sweet meaning in order to bestow. This is called sweetness. The pomegranate, that we have many desires and they're all egoistical. If we want to continue our good life, we have to be connected with everyone. Therefore, we correct all of these desires. This is called, may your mitzvot be as many as the pomegranate. Gzerot, decrees. We don't want decrees, but that's impossible because we discover we're all corrupted. So let's have good, sweet decrees, gzerot, and that we should know how to mitigate them. Gezer, carrot in Hebrew is from the word gzerah, decree. Then we'll transition them from the bad to the good. It all depends on our understanding, our awareness, and this is how you explain everything. But then you insert them already into some work, some action, not just eating some sweet fruit or vegetable. The entire Rosh Hashanah is about sweetness, about mitigation of the judgments. We're indeed beginning to correct our ego, and it's all judgments, so we need to mitigate them. This is what we have to do, to correct them. Mitigation, sweetening, is correction. It's not a sensation. The feeling of sweetness comes to me if I correct my tastes. Otherwise, it feels bitter. Everything depends on me. Yes, Mushi. Well, somebody falling asleep with the microphone?
If I understand correctly, the mitzvah is my willing action to unite with others and a custom, as this is what I heard from your explanation.
It's the same thing, but I'm not yet able to do it.
Right, in corporeal reality, because still it's not my own will, but these are different efforts of mine which I try and do.
Yes.
That's the custom.
Yes.
So my question is, why did the Kabbalists suppose determine that I have to eat the head of a fish?
According to root and branch.
For example, why didn't they say that I...
Well, you can take the head of, you know, a sheep, or... It's just customary. In many places, they actually eat a sheep, or... As far as I'm concerned, you can take the head of a cow. Doesn't matter, it's just an indication. Rosh, a head. Every kosher animal takes its head and eateth.
Wouldn't it have been better were there a custom like coming up to another, sing a song with him, give him a gift? It would bring closer to him somehow.
It's going to root and branch. Do you understand it or not? These customs follow the root and branch.
So I eat the head of the fish for 2,000 years and no one understands anything.
That's why I'm telling you, this is not called a custom. This is what this clever guy Itai asked me. He's suggesting what we should study, you know, see what kind of a man he is.
You said root and branch. If it's not a custom, then what?
No, it's not. It's a root and branch means that I, on the branch, am performing my inner actions, that I'm still in them, in those inner actions. I'm in them yet in order to receive. That's why it's called a custom, in Lolishma, not for the sake of the Creator. I come to you and I embrace you and I say, I love you. You know, the way that people speak. So much more than myself. Well, what are you going to say about that? Now, it could be from a small lie, or maybe I'm confused and I'm confusing others, or I'm just acting, or I truly want it, and a little bit I love you, but that I love you more than myself, truly, that is a lie. But I want, let's say that I want for this to truly happen. So if I want this to truly happen, but I'm not in it, this is called that I'm in the custom, in the preparation. And then my intentions are useful, beneficial. And out of that, I will reach the mitzvah itself. This is why he says here, that the customs of Israel are so important that you can say that they give more spirituality to a person than the mitzvot themselves. Why? Because they correct more. When you're already in spirituality, then the transition from one degree to the next is less powerful, less tragic than what you have to, in order to reach from lolishma to lishma, to cross the barrier. This is although breaking a custom does not yield punishment, because anyway you are in order to receive, and breaking a judgment does yield punishment, because there you're falling off your degree, you're losing your screen. Still concerning the benefit, meaning producing fear of heaven, the customs yield more spirituality. Sure, because you're reaching truly the revelation, you're reaching the spiritual force bestowed. If you are correctly performing the custom, you reach the mitzvah, because the great ones who established their customs that based them. I mean, there were no customs. They don't exist in the letter of the degrees. Rather, when you come from in order to receive, to in order to bestow, they arranged that so that spirituality would shine through them. Yes.
Okay, this I get, but nonetheless, what does it mean to eat the head of a fish and all the mitzvot that we know of? It's not a custom. It's not a mitzvah. What is it?
No, people do it, but what is lacking is the intention. The intention is lacking. Otherwise, the common people call the customs, they mean what they do in this world through all kinds of different actions, different dishes. They call all kinds of actions that they do with more abstract things also a mitzvah. Talit, tefillin, the Torah, meaning the book of the Torah, and so on. This is how they call it. Now we say the following, mitzvot are the corrections that I perform over my will to receive through the light that reforms, and I ascend from degree to the next. Every time I correct a single desire from the 613 desires within my soul, this is called a mitzvah. A custom means that I relate to myself as not yet being able to distinguish between those desires and other, and I try as if I'm already in spirituality. As if. Because the common people think they're already there, and we don't. So it's as if I'm in spirituality. This is how I behave. And this is called a custom. But it's lolishma, in short, is called a custom. And it's not that I eat fish, and out of that I'm going to get spirituality. Rather, during this time, I want to reach a state of being a rosh, a head. You see? For the common people, everything is exactly upside down. You see? They read Maftir Yonah, this prayer, which is such a huge thing. We read Maftir Yonah on Yom Kippurim. Some rich person comes and he says, I'm putting down $10,000 and I buy the Maftir Yonah. And people say, whoa, what an honor he's giving. They don't understand anything, neither these nor those. What does Maftir Yonah say, for example? That Yonah, the prophet, and what example we can get from him, from the Torah. It's a very unique example. He refused to perform the commandment of the Creator. The Creator told him, go to Nineveh, there's this great city in Assyria, 250,000 people, I think. I don't quite remember. It's a huge metropolis. You understand how big it is according to the standards of those times? And correct them. Go to them, tell them that soon, if they don't repent, I will burn down, and it doesn't matter. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to go and correct the world, as we say. And this is on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur. So he tried to run away from this entire task, went to the sea, entered the whale, and everything that we know about it. Ultimately, he has no choice. He's again tossed to the seashore and had to go to Nineveh and correct them. How do we read this story? I can't talk anymore. How do we read this story, and how do the common people read this story? Well, what, some rich guy comes and said, I want to buy Maftiriona. This means that he'll have a good livelihood for the whole year. What kind of livelihood is he talking about? What kind of livelihood are we talking about? The opinion of the Torah is opposite the opinion of the landlords. What are you going to do? This is how it is with everything, both in the customs and in the mitzvot and all these actions. We're not disrespecting what they are doing, but these are 2 degrees. 2 degrees? Well, yes.
From what I understand, from what you're saying, that the customs that we keep today, we can make them lishma if we add the intention to them.
This is why Kabbalists have attached a special help from above to those things, that if you perform the actions towards unity, towards connection, even though you don't want a connection, even though while you're performing these actions, you're thinking about what it's going to give me, what am I going to get out of it, nonetheless, the light comes and takes care of you and brings you a different understanding that you couldn't have asked for, but it brings it to you. And even though you don't think that it's going to happen, yet it does happen. Suddenly you begin to respect, bestow, and love.
And if I add to the apple with honey and intention, is that good?
Even without the apple and honey, if you add intention, it would be good. I meant actions of connection that we perform without the desired intention, meaning that we're still in Lolishma. And it's unrelated to the apple and honey. Rabash writes to you about all kinds of actions that we have to perform in a group to subjugate yourself, to elevate the friends, to connect, perform actions towards them of awakening, and so on and so forth. These actions that you perform, you are in all kinds of intentions of, you know, making a profit in this world, next world, but somehow getting a reward. Nonetheless, they work. How come they work? These laws, I mean, where do we have such things there? So they say the following. Indeed, a person who is in Lolishma, a person who has intentions of in order to receive, how can the light shine upon him? It can't. That's a law. The light shines only on a desire that is in equivalence with it. And you are not in equivalence with that light. But you are in all kinds of actions because you have a body, a corporeal body. Now you can understand what it's there for. With my physical body, I can come and embrace you. I can say with my corporeal mouth, I love you. Or, the Creator is important, see how I work, see how much I'm doing, see how I subjugate myself, take an example from me. Through the body, we interconnect with one another. Even though our actions are only in order to receive, if these actions are of the type that was established by Kabbalists, that they are worthwhile doing in order to come to the true connection, then even those actions by themselves, if I keep them correctly, and my intentions are the opposite of what they should be, they are the opposite, because I'm thinking that through this I'm going to profit, I'm going to be great in the spiritual world, the next world, the Creator. They are the opposite. They are in order to receive. It's actually malice. It's actually like the sin. I actually continue or extend the sin towards me. But no, if I perform these actions while still being with the evil intentions, Kabbalists made it so that I will be able to correct myself. Otherwise, how will I ever be able to come out of the shattering? Therefore, this is still called a custom. You need to simply behave correctly, conduct yourself correctly, and from that you will reach the right action, meaning with the right intention. This is why they say that in all of these customs, we have the light that reforms. They made special corrections for that, because according to the law, from above, downwards, according to what we study about the way that the shattering occurred, it could not be that in those vessels that are down below, below everything, below this cut, it cannot be that the light would shine upon them. So what do we study in the Beit Shaar Kavanot? Those vessels are down below, below the Siyum, the end of the degrees, but by the fact that they start awakening down there, they're elevated, then they start beginning good and bad, start feeling good, bad, bad, good. In all of these various states, they're being elevated from this world up to below the point of the next world, and this is how they begin to work. Well, we have other things here that we'll have to go over later. We have some time left. Yes, Leo.
Earlier, when you talked about the customs, you mentioned the Congress that we'll have after the holiday, and to this moment, there are many friends that did not register yet, meaning they won't be there with us.
They haven't signed up yet?
There are many friends that did not register, right? So, the question is...
The people who are not going to come, their friends are not going to come?
It surprises me too, and there's a feeling that we really need each and every person on this very special event.
I don't understand that. I don't want to carry anybody there forcefully, but how can I? But it only shows us how much people don't understand the benefit. Maybe they're put off because of the conditions that we're going to have that are kind of simple, but nonetheless it points to the greatest of the goal, on the other hand. I remember we once went with Rabash to Tiberias, to such a big house, kind of a deserted house. I'm sorry, no, it was Tzfat. It was a big deserted house that used to be a hotel, so each one of us was sleeping on the floor, not under, I don't quite remember, there were some places where we didn't even have a ceiling, a roof, you know, it was really like a rundown building, and nobody said anything, and we're talking about, you know, old people, Hasidim, you know, like that. Well,
the question is specifically about that.
It's just lack of importance.
Maybe on this very special situation, on this Congress, we should turn to people and really try and persuade them to come, because it's important for them to come. Or maybe it isn't. Maybe only the ones who have the importance should come. There's a feeling that really everyone has to be there, that we need everyone's strength there.
That's true. That's true. Therefore, on one hand, yes, it is a problem that people don't understand where we are and before what we are. It has to do with their personal destiny and the collective destiny. Yes, we need to work on that. We need nonetheless to explain that.
So maybe really I think that I'm turning on behalf of the whole group to all the friends all over Israel, and the friends from overseas will join us the way they can, but I'm turning to this very special point that we got from the Creator. We have to collect all these points together. We have very special work to do that we can succeed doing only together. Everyone's important. We want to see everyone with us on this very unique convention.
There are those who buy their world in a single hour.
Announcements. Uniting in the North. There was someone who said that he watches the morning lesson only on television, and can he come to the Congress too?
We're open to any man age 13 and above, just so we don't have to take care of him. He's independent. He can come, enjoy under the conditions that are written on the page. Please.
Uniting in the North, this weekend, 20 to 22nd of September, we're meeting for a weekend of unity in the North, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, up north, next to the villages Kalanit and Majal. Registration ends today. For further details, 1-700-509-209 or on the site. Kabbalah Congress in Italy at the end of this month, 28th to the 30th of September. Our friends from Europe are invited to a Kabbalah Congress in Italy. On the program, lessons, cultural events, meals, and of course, mutual workshops with Dr. Lightman. Friday till Sunday, Rome, Italy. For further registration and details, kabbalah.it. We conclude. Have a great day and a great night. מתחברים אל המקור בפרו ואקוודור זורם נהר של אהבה בין אילת לערבה ברור שאין עוד מלבדו בליסבון ובבורדו ושהוא טוב וגם מיטיב בניו יורק ותל אביב Around the world a ray of light is calling people to unite Igniting all the points inside Endless love will be our guide Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine Sochi и Калининград Китайски говорят, расстояние пропало от Аляски до Урала, от Чикаго до Читы, от Литвы до Алматы, от Сиднея до Берлина, от Парижа до Пекина. Around the world a ray of light is calling people to unite. Igniting all the points inside Endless love will be our guide Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine sucedió en Japón y Kazajstán se abren los cielos también en Moscú y Jerusalén más ciudades y naciones más hermanos y uniones grandes olas de amor solo un clic un corazón around the world a ray of light is calling people to unite Igniting all the points inside Endless love will be our guide Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine